This morning's gospel lesson comes from the third chapter of Mark, verses 20 through 35. And the crowd came together so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes would come down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no man can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mothers and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. The crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Remember when we walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep, filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live. Oh, when the love spills over and music fills the night, and you can't contain the joy you feel inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live. Kiss the world goodbye and go in peace and laugh on glory's side. then fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus and live.
Thou who art over us, thou who art one of us, thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. It is there. It's right there in the text. I can't make this stuff up. It's in print. It's plain as day. It's for all to see. Jesus has gone mad. He's out of his mind. He'd gone off the deep end, and he was way in over his head. He needed a lifeline. He needed someone to rescue him. His parents could see it. Even the gathered crowd could see it. Why couldn't Jesus see it for himself? I guess their diagnosis was inevitable. Jesus' behavior had surpassed what was deemed acceptable. His actions had bypassed reason. There was no other way for them to describe it. He must be insane. Or he must be in league with the other world, partners with the enemy of good. Either way, in Jesus' day, they were considered synonymous, one and the same. Mental illness, and for that matter, any medical condition, was a sign and a symptom of demonic or evil possession. Thank goodness that our understanding of mental illness has evolved. Well, at least a little. There's still so much work for us to do in that area. A recent Huffington Post article says, you know what it's like when you get stressed, as if you are going out of your mind. Oh no, I'm losing it. I'm going crazy. I can't take it anymore. And those were my thoughts with just one day of summer break, having Andrea and Allison home. But we know what it's like, and how the more thoughts you have like this, the more you get caught up in the madness and get further away from being peaceful and happy. The good news, the article says, is that as long as you know you're going nuts, then we're okay. It's when we're not aware that we're off-keel that it's more serious. The article continues, there's no denying the importance of and value of the mind. There's great brilliance and creativity and beauty there, but also great absurdity. For no matter how intellectually astute or inspired we may be, this can have little effect upon the habitual mind and its repetitive patterns of guilt and anxiety and shame or self-centeredness. The tragedy is multiplied when maintaining our dramas, our ego trips, or getting stressed out is seen as sort of some kind of achievement. The article concludes with these words. So what if going out of your mind was actually the coolest thing to do? What if being out of your mind means that you aren't disturbed by your own madness and are more in touch with your feelings, with your heart, or even your freedom? What if it means getting away from all of the insecurities, all of the worries, all of the judgments and doubts, away from everything that keeps you scattered and fearful, away from the commotions and stories that reinforce who you are, who you think you are, and who others think that you are? As the great Zen teacher Alan Watts said, we all need to go out of our minds at least once a day. By going out of our minds, we quickly come to our senses. In this sense, being out of our mind can really be a good thing. It helps us to gain some perspective. It helps us get outside of ourselves. Others, even those closest to him, may have thought that Jesus was out of his mind. But Jesus was solidly in God's mind, in touch with God's will and bringing God's kingdom here on earth. However, Jesus' poor family, we have to feel for them. With us looking in from the outside, can we really blame them for their reactions and their characterizations? Jesus had become an embarrassment. Their hard work as parents was all for naught. It was past time for a family intervention. They were fearing for his very life. They tried their best to quiet and restrain Jesus, but Jesus pushed them all away. You see, Jesus was not only portrayed as out of his mind by the gospel writer and those who had gathered around him, he also found himself literally and figuratively on the outside. His proclamation and witness of faith was outside of the rituals and traditions of his Hebrew brothers and sisters. It was certainly not what his parents had taught him. And it went well beyond what he had learned in the temple. He was outside of the constraints of what the Messiah was to be and become. He was claiming an authority that he didn't rightly inherit. It would be so much easier to deal with him by labeling him as an outsider. And that's exactly what they did. They labeled him as one who didn't belong among the chosen. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons. Because Jesus was not of their mind. He was targeted as one who was on the outside, as one who didn't belong, as one who was not playing on the same team. Can we blame them? Really? It's exactly what we do when our security is threatened, or when we are challenged to think and act in a new way, or when we're invited to welcome and embrace those who are different from us. We too label others and call them names. The rhetoric quickly becomes we and they, or we against them. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Really? I don't think so. Words breed hatred and contempt. Words condone behavior and allow that behavior to go unchecked. When others are not of our mind, we too become closed off and defensive. Jesus, however, chose not to defend himself against their accusations. But rather, he challenged them with stories, with questions, and with parables. He gave them a description of who was considered to be on the inside and who was on the outside and who was able to see the kingdom of God. He even redefined family. And it was not what the crowd or his family had expected. See, those who once found themselves on the inside are now on the outside. Jesus was truly out of his mind. But I guess that characterization really depends upon where one is sitting. It really begs asking the question, where are we? Are we on the inside looking out? Or are we on the outside looking in? Those who were gathered there that day didn't have the full story, but we, what about us? We have the full story. We know who Jesus is, will be, and would become. So I ask you, does Jesus' behavior and demands still shock and surprise us? Do we really count on the first being last and the last being first? What do we do with the demands of following and serving Christ? How seriously do we live out calling each other our brothers and sisters, our mothers and our fathers? How are we serving the least and the lost in our midst and in our community? Oh, I can hear the statements already forming in your minds. If the pastor really thinks that we are going to try to answer these questions, then he must be out of his mind. We are called. We are called, each one of us, to be out of our minds and into God's mind. God help